Join me in prayer. To our wounds and pain, the cross speaks understanding and comfort. For no other God bears wounds, none but you alone, O God. To our despair and brokenness, the resurrection speaks hope and life. For no other God bears unfailing love, none but you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So we praise you, Holy God, for it is within your divine community that we realize and we receive grace for this life and the next. And as we reflect on your resurrected life, help us to see what needs to die in us so that it is only you that people see. And together your church says, Amen. Well, I appreciate Linda's honesty as she shared with us about the pain of losing her mother. And as we all too often know, life has a way of robbing us of joy, of confidence, of faith. Satan has his deceitful schemes to steal our faith. And without question, the intention of those schemes of Satan is to poke holes in our spiritual assurance, to create doubt in our minds and hearts, and to draw us away from God through any means necessary. But it's typically a slow fade, as the song says, right? Our confidence, our hope, our faith does not disappear suddenly. And let me just pause, and I need you to hear me on this. Let me say this up front. There is room within our faith. Our God is big enough to handle our questions, our doubt, our fear. And so don't walk away thinking, well, I'm doubting and I'm questioning, so maybe I don't have faith. No. Today's message is about focusing on our faith, our assurance, our confidence is grounded in who God is. And so as you question, as you doubt, I do encourage you to know our God is good and he is faithful and he loves you. That's your firm foundation. Did you catch the line in Linda's testimony where she said she felt like she was dead inside? She said, after months of feeling like I had died inside, one day at church, Brian sang a song and it touched my heart. Gave me hope again. I want you to hear the key principle for the message. I want to give it up to you up front, and then we'll come back to it here in just a minute. But pay attention. When we think that something or someone appears dead, we should not give up hope because our God is known for resurrection. Now you read that. It's up there on the screen. Let that soak in. That's the main thing for today. And as Satan and his deadly tactics have a way of weighing us down, the Hebrew preacher, we've been in a series from the letter to the Hebrews, the Hebrew preacher, he pulls out every persuasive tool that they can to remind us that God has a way to help us overcome these tactics. The case has been built. The evidence has been thoroughly laid out by the Hebrew preacher. Jesus Christ is superior, and he stands above all other religious systems, all other so-called gods. Jesus is greater than every heavenly being. He's superior to even Moses. He's greater than all of the other high priests before him. Jesus has established a new covenant and purchased with his own blood eternal redemption through his selfless and humble sacrifice for the sake of the world. That, among many, many other things, is what sets him apart. Jesus is the resurrected Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And one of my textual graduate professors, if you have your Bible or Bible app, will be in Hebrews chapter 10. One of my graduate level professors always said, okay, men and women, why is the therefore therefore? It's a good question. Why is the therefore therefore? And in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19, we have one of those therefores. There is a significant shift in the focus of the Hebrew preacher. Again, the case has been built, the evidence has been laid out, and now it's time to move toward faithful action. But first, they want to emphasize just one more time, because chapters 5 through 9, the Hebrew preacher has emphasized over and over again the importance of confidently coming before God through the blood of Jesus. So listen closely one more time. It is written, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God," pause. It all begins with our confidence in God. The first verse of the next chapter, Hebrews 11, verse 1, reminds us, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for, and certain of what we do not see." In order to draw us away from God, Satan begins by drilling holes. See the picture. He doesn't rip it all away at once. No, we would confront him. We would question. We would put up a front against him. But he begins slowly by drilling holes into our confidence, putting into question things that we once held dear. But as Christians, at our best, in our good times, we are sure in our hope of God, certain of the spiritual, heavenly realities that we cannot see. But if Satan can get a hold of us, if he can make us question, if he can make us doubt, and if we're not careful, if we're not diligent, if we're not wise in those times, our faith will begin to slowly erode, and over time, we become disconnected from God and our confidence shaken or shattered. But the writer says, "But since we are confident, since we are confident to take our burdens, to take our questions, to take our doubts before God, because he is good and faithful, since we are confident that Jesus is our good high priest before God in heaven, and confident that Christ's sacrifice is perfect, it's complete, it's final, it has purchased our eternal redemption, since we are confident," the Hebrew preacher writes, "it's time for faithful action." And the middle part of chapter 10 digs into these faithful actions, and many of them are prefaced with the words, "let us." So I want you to pay close attention to the reading of God's word. Hebrews 10, starting in verse 22. "Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up on meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching." So I just want to walk through each of these faithful actions really quickly. The first faithful action that the Hebrew preacher points to is draw near to God with a sincere heart. And I just want to be real candid here just for a minute. This past week was Holy Week, right? If you're paying attention, if you spent some time, even just a few minutes each day to reflect, to remember, to wonder at the awe of Jesus as he walked through his Passion Week. And we remembered the angry mob, perhaps. Maybe the false arrest. Maybe the tainted trials that he endured. Maybe the horrifying beatings that he suffered. And then, of course, the cruelty of the cross. And as I put on social media, and as a famous saying that was well known, Friday, Good Friday, it came. A Sunday's coming. Sunday is here. And because of his selfless sacrifice, the curtain has been torn down, and now we all are priests who can enter into the most holy place before God himself because of Jesus, because of his blood and the purchase of our redemption. We can go confidently into the throne room of God, and we really have no reason to avoid God. So my candid question for us is, why do we? Why do we avoid him? Maybe these are some of the reasons, right? I'll just hold this one up since it keeps falling off. This one was a big one for me, right? Don't raise your hand, but maybe you're agreeing with me. This one's a hard one. Satan's schemes are many, and these are only eight, but I believe if you were to say something this morning, we could point to one of these and say, yeah, that kind of fits inside of this one, doesn't it? Or this one. And these are the schemes, these are the tactics that Satan uses to keep us from drawing near to God with a sincere heart. He convinces us that we don't need God, and we buy his lies. But here's the truth, friends. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit desire nothing more than for you and for me to come near to them. So would you do me a favor today? Take your burden. Take your secret sin. Take your doubts. Take your hurts. And let God embrace you in his love. The next faithful action you may have noticed was, let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess. And this hope that we have is grounded in Jesus' sacrifice, resurrection, and now his mediation between God and man and between us and God. This hope does not disappoint us because it's grounded in who Jesus is. We see the evidence, right? Kind of like Thomas, we believe in the scars in his wrists. We believe in the scars in his feet and the sword scar in his side and the crown of thorns that he wore as they mocked him. Our hope is grounded in his love. It's like an anchor for our soul. And in chapter 6 a few weeks ago, we learned that our hope is like an anchor. And what is an anchor to a ship? Well, when an anchor is thrown overboard, it goes down deep into the ocean, right? And it disappears. You can no longer see it. But those who are on board that ship know its effectiveness. They can feel its weight and how it holds them steady and secure in the unsettled waters. And Jesus is like that anchor. We have hope in Jesus. It's like an anchor for our soul that keeps us steady, that keeps us secure while all of life around us is unsettled. And all of that is rooted in the cross and in the resurrection. And then the next two faithful actions called for by the Hebrew preacher, they go together in my mind, spurring one another on toward love and good deeds and not giving up the practice of meeting together. And again, we look at Satan's tactics here. We look at his schemes. We look at pride and selfishness and guilt and shame and fear and worthlessness and emotional and physical pain and despair. And Satan uses these things as excuses, as lies, as schemes, as tactics to keep us away, not just from God, but to keep us away from each other. And he knows that the best ground for these to get settled in, for them to fester and spread, is the ground of isolation. And so the Hebrew preacher steps into that known space and he reminds us as disciples of Jesus, do not live in isolation, because if you do, these things right here will spread like a wildfire. Christian community is where we are reminded, not perfectly, very imperfectly reminded about God's love and grace, because we are not perfect. But there is power in being together and reminding one another of His love and of His grace. It is within the power of faith community that we are encouraged to empty ourselves out of Satan's lies so that we can receive in all that God wants to give. And that's the power of community. We remind each other, we look at each other in the eyes and we say, "You let go of that, it's killing you." And when we're in our right places, sober-minded to receive that truth, we go, "Ah, yes, I remember you, friend. You can go now." You understand what I'm saying? Do you see the picture? We need one another to identify these lies, to set them free, to let them go, to put them to death, to empty ourselves of them so that we can receive all that God wants to give. Just for a moment, I want to take us back to Linda's testimony. What was Satan's tactic that he used on her and her testimony? She talked about her grief, her pain, her confusion. He was poking holes in her confidence in God. Did you hear her words? Just one more time, listen closely. She said, "After months of feeling like I died inside, one day at church," and under her breath, I don't know if you heard it, she said, "Go figure." At church, go figure. "Brian led a song, and it touched my heart, and it gave me hope again." You see, Satan had her believing that her spirit was dead. That's not true. That her hope was depleted. That's not true. And in her testimony, she shared, "I would come to church because Terry would encourage me to come, but..." She talked about how she couldn't participate. She was just crying. "Linda, I'm so glad you came." She continued to come. Even in her pain. She continued to come. Even in her doubt and confusion, she came and she let us remind her. Even when she couldn't participate, even when she couldn't sing, she let us pour over her and remind her, God is love, God is good, God is faithful. He's here with you. I know it doesn't feel like it, but He is. And one day at church, go figure, we sang a song. And for the first time in months, God opened her heart. And she said, "Despair, old friend, you can go now." Pain, emotional pain. "You've been my friend long enough. You can go." So don't give up hope. Because when something or someone appears spiritually dead, we should not give up hope, because our God is known for resurrection. That's what He's known for. He brings life from death. So don't give up your confidence in God. He is famous for resurrection. Here's how the Hebrew preacher puts it. Do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. Do not throw away your confidence in God. But there are some things we need to throw away. Hebrew preacher uses the same phrase in chapter 12, verse 1. Listen to this. Therefore, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. That doesn't happen in isolation, right? It happens together. And as you look around the room, you have your great cloud of witnesses. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. So what is it that needs to die in you so that grace you can receive? Maybe it's your old friend pride, or this one's my buddy. very selfish. Maybe it's guilt. Maybe it's shame. Any of those four could do, but maybe for you it's, maybe it's fear. Maybe it's your friend over here, despair. Running out of room. Maybe it's pain. Anybody have emotional or chronic physical pain? Maybe you like to carry that around. Let's not forget worthlessness. I'll go ahead and pick that up. Shame and guilt, you got to come to. And we carry these around like it's okay. Right? And I run into the, Johanna, good morning. I'm great. Don't ask, I'm fine. Hey, right? You see the baggage that we carry, right? If you were here 7 years ago when I first came, you remember this illustration. But I just thought it was too perfect not to do it one more time. And we carry these around and we don't think anything of it. Maybe we put them down for a while, but then we pick them back up. And if we're not careful, if we're not wise, if we're not paying attention, then we start to disappear in these things. Become our identity, and you can't even see me anymore because by the weight of them, I'm crouched down behind them, and all you can see are these things. And in a moment of weariness or sheer exhaustion or desperation, we hear the voice of God. Just throw it away. Throw off all the things. Trust me. And in a moment of sobriety or clarity, we find the spiritual momentum to stand up and cast them all off. And we're free.
Karen and I talked before I started. She was aware.
But listen to me, don't be naive. Your journey's just begun. You throw off all the things that hinder you, but your journey's just begun. Maybe for the first time you feel the freedom in Christ that the Scripture talks about. Your journey's just begun. Would you remember the principle today? As these old friends make their way back into your life, they try to creep back in. Satan doesn't give up. He continues to fester. He continues to poke holes. And these old friends come back. And when they do, remember this principle from today. When something or someone appears to be dead, do not give up hope. Because our God is known for resurrection. And this morning, we have just a little bit of time left together. We have one more song that we're going to sing together, but it's a time to respond to the Lord as well. And what we want you to do is feel free to respond to the Lord how you need to respond for you. Maybe it's just singing a praise with all your heart to Him for the freedom that you have in Christ, for the resurrection that He's given you in your life. We have these prayer stations on either side, and there's cards where you can write down your prayers, and we invite you to kind of roll them up like a scroll and put them in the prayer wall right here. But here's the cool part. If you're a prayer warrior and you enjoy praying, don't leave this morning without coming forward and grabbing a prayer out of the wall and taking it with you. So you can come, you can write your prayers, you can come later and take a prayer. Our shepherds and ministers and other prayer warriors will be in the aisles to receive you if you need someone to literally just pray with you this morning for whatever reason. No matter what you're going through, you may need to confess, you may need to let something go, you may need to celebrate with someone this morning. Let us serve you in that way during this next song. And I'm going to be right down here. If you've made the decision to give your life to the Lord in baptism, I would love to receive you this morning. And we'll go do that right now. Let's not leave Resurrection Sunday without you being born again, raised from the dead to walk a new life. Amen? Don't leave here if you're ready to do that. So I'm going to say a prayer as our band gets ready for this last song. And after I say amen, feel free to come to one of these spaces. Feel free, if you know of someone who needs prayer this morning, just go to them during this song. Pray with them. We want you to do that. So let's pray together. Father God, we just praise you this morning for your resurrection power. Your resurrection power that rose Jesus miraculously from the grave on that third day after such a cruel death. You breathed life into him and he walked out of the tomb. God, we believe that you can breathe new life into us as well through the power of your Spirit. And so we ask you for that this morning. We ask you to raise us up. And when we believe that something or someone is spiritually dead, may we never give up hope that you can bring good things. You can bring life from the ashes, life from things that seem dead. So may we respond to you in these next few moments. May we respond to you out of love, trusting that you are going to make all things right as we surrender to your will. May we do that now, together as a family. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.